Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
Are you sometimes confused by certain English expressions? Do you want to learn some common ones that natives use a lot? Well, in this lesson, Ethan and I discuss some of the most confusing English expressions and have a lot of fun explaining what they actually mean. We also talk about some expressions that are common in the UK that could even confuse Americans. Also, if you head over to Instagram at reallife.english, I've shared some exclusive expressions there. So go and check it out as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Aw yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
effective
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, walking your dog, shopping at the mall, or even
cleaning your windows.
I'm joined here in the Barcelona studio, the Barcelona virtual studio, as always, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. I had to get in cleaning the windows there because it's on my mind because I need to clean my windows.
That's always like one of the laziest activities. It's very challenging.
Yeah.
Do you mean the inside or the outside?
Both, but the outside is probably worst because sometimes when we get that rain, that's like a little bit dusty or muddy. It doesn't look so nice. The light's coming in from outside, it's beautiful, and then you see all the dirt on the windows.
All the dirt and dust, of course.
Yeah.
And would you say in the UK, would you say mall, or what word would you use for a shopping center like that?
Yeah, we would say shopping center. Rather than shopping mall. We would understand it because of media and everything, and maybe when we've traveled and we go to a shopping mall, and you might see it a little bit more as well now in the UK, but we'd say shopping center.
Okay. I think it's funny. I guess some languages have actually taken it maybe from British English, because in Brazil, I believe, for example, they'll call it like a shopping, like they call it the shopping is like the mall or the shopping center. Oh. But they actually take the English word for it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Anyways, today we are going to talk about some confusing expressions. Some of them are expressions that we use both in the UK and in the United States. And Andrea is also going to share some with me that would be confusing even for me. But if you're learning British English, you might find them useful. So enough said, let's jump right into today's shout out. So, Andrea, do you want to do the honors of reading today's shout out?
Sure. So today's shout out comes from Brazil, and I'm not sure on the person's name because there's lots of I's in there. It kind of looks like yeah, or maybe it's just an expression. I'm not sure. I don't speak Portuguese. But this person wrote on Apple Podcasts, the best podcast ever. And they started with, yeah. Guys, I want to thank you for all your dedication to this podcast and also on both your YouTube channels. I was looking for something that would make my English learning process more fun and interesting, and I found you. I always thought that I'd never be a fluent speaker and that English was very difficult. Actually, I still think that English is difficult, but I'm having a great time learning with you guys, and it's a good challenge for me, not an obligation anymore. I hope you grow more and more and help more people around the world. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Thea, or whatever your real name is. And thanks so much for taking the time to share that nice message with us. And I'm glad that you're really taking advantage of all of our channels, of our podcast, of both of our YouTube channels. So I think really when you have that kind of dedication and you're just filling your life with different materials like this, you start to just kind of see the effects taking place almost effortlessly in some sense, because it's just like something that you make a part of your life. It's not actually something that you have to concentrate so much on doing. So I'm glad that we've made that possible for you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's such an amazing review. And it's so great to hear that you're now enjoying your English learning, because that's what it's all about. That's how it should be.
100%. So if you want us to shout you out, or if any of our podcast or videos or anything like that have helped you and you want to share it, all you have to do is head over to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening to us and leave us a 5-star review. And of course, by doing this, you're also helping us to reach more learners from around the world so that they can make learning English not an obligation, but something that's fun and a good challenge for them, just like our friend from Brazil said. So that said, let's check out what our quote of the day is. So you chose a quote from Oscar Wilde, right?
I did.
So was he a poet, like a British poet or something like that?
Yeah, I think he's actually Irish. He was an Irish poet and playwright. Mm. I think like more than 100 years ago.
All right. So what does Oscar Wilde have to say?
Yeah, I came across this one and I thought it was a really fun one for today. So he says, "We have really everything in common with America nowadays, except, of course, language."
And what exactly does he mean by that? Because in Ireland, in the UK, in America, we do, in fact, have the same language, right?
We do. But I'm not sure. Like, it would be really interesting to find out what was going on with language back then. I think maybe he said mm-hmm. this in the early 1900s. And mm-hmm. I guess what he was saying that, you know, we have a lot of things in common except our language. So back then there must have been quite a lot of differences in the way that we spoke, maybe vocabulary that we used. And maybe people back then found it more difficult to understand each other.
Mm-hmm. It could also, maybe it's a reflection in some sense that like the United States isn't even that old of a country. I mean, it's just a few hundred years old. And a few hundred years ago, we would have spoken the same English on both sides of the Atlantic. And now, of course, both Englishes have evolved, not just American English, but also British English and I'm sure Irish English. It's kind of like, as with time, the languages evolve and change. And maybe it's kind of like a reflection on that, is that like kind of the evolution of the languages and stuff have made it so they're like a lot more unique. Mm-hmm. And I think even nowadays, because like kind of the communication and like the shared culture of like with like TV series and things like that, like you say all the time that British English is being very highly influenced by a lot of the American pop culture, mm-hmm. and probably a little bit also in the other direction.
Yeah, definitely. It could also have that kind of meaning as well. We really have been kind of infiltrated, I think, with watching TV series and movies, and I'm noticing a lot of differences in the way that we speak English in the UK as well.
I wonder how Oscar Wilde would feel about that nowadays.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
He lived a little bit before the time of like the media and the influence of that. So, yeah. But that is like a pretty perfect quote for today, because we're going to talk about some differences, some different expressions and things like that, and some things that are very challenging to understand, sometimes even for native speakers, depending where you come from. But I think you'll find a lot of these expressions also very practical, that you'll be able to start using them right away. So, all right, so let's jump right into it. So I guess we'll start out with ones that we share, right? That both of us would use in the UK, in the United States. So what's the first one, Andrea?
So the first one is quite funny. It's "the lights are on, but nobody's home."
Would this just mean that you drove past a friend's house and like the lights are on inside of his house, but he's not in fact there?
No. So that's where this one can be quite confusing. It doesn't mean anything like that at all. It would basically mean that, you know, someone has a brain, but they're not really using it. So like the lights are on, there's a person there, they're awake, like maybe they're speaking, but they're not really sharp, or they're just kind of having maybe a moment or a longer mm-hmm. period of time where they're not being very smart.
Yeah, I think it's maybe kind of like that look, like when you kind of have like a blank look on your face. It's almost like you've forgot what you were talking about, or you've kind of said something maybe that's not so aligned with like your intelligence. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of like it actually kind of makes sense when you think about it, that it's like, okay, you know, there's something there, but like the lights are on, meaning that you usually think that there's someone there, but they're not actually physically there. So it's almost like that person's kind of like they're physically there, but their brain is kind of somewhere else. It's traveling.
Exactly. Like they're not quite alert, or like you said, you know, they're just kind of not quite there at that moment. Maybe you've drifted off somewhere else and, mm-hmm. you know, you're missing something, or you haven't responded. You know, maybe you're having a conversation with someone you know, they've asked you a question and you've completely blanked them. And then they're like, oh, the lights are on, but nobody's home.
That's perfect. So you would actually like say that to your friend in that case then, right?
I guess if you're quite close with someone, you know, and they're not going to take offense, you might actually even just say it to them. Like, what's going on with you?
So otherwise it could be like a little bit insulting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't say this to your boss.
No.
So the next one, this is quite a funny one. It's one I wouldn't use nowadays, but I think like my parents used to use it for sure. So what is it?
Yeah, I agree. This one is the bee's knees.
The bee's knees, which is quite funny because we don't even know. I don't even know if bees have knees.
I know. I guess obviously they don't have, well, their anatomy is very different. But I did read something because I was really curious about this one. I did read something about this being the part of the bee where, you know, it works the most to get all the sweetness and stuff. I guess when they're collecting the pollen and stuff.
Huh.
And it does make sense because of the meaning of this expression as well.
Okay, so I would have thought maybe if bees don't have knees, maybe it's like something non-existent. But of course, we know that that's not the actual meaning of the expression.
Yeah, that's interesting as well. Like it could be something that's kind of like out of this world or extraordinary or or something like that. Yeah.
That's basically what it means, right? Is to be out of this world, incredible, extraordinary, or like cool, right? It's like a expression for cool.
Yeah, like there's nothing cooler than this. It's the bee's knees.
I mean, I think people don't use this so much nowadays, right? At least like young people don't.
Yeah, I think young people not as much these days. Yeah, but you will still hear it.
So you could say like that something or some place is like the bee's knees, like such and such restaurant, like your favorite restaurant is the bee's knees. It's the best place. Mm-hmm. It's your favorite place to hang out.
Maybe we could revive it. I like it. I think it's got a nice sound to it. We should start using it again and start spreading it. Come on, real lifers, everyone. Let's start using it again.
Just get all the English learners to add it to like the global English, right? Yeah. Even if Americans and Brits aren't using it, we can just all use it globally.
Yeah.
So the next one we were just talking about actually before we started recording, because I've heard this a lot since I was a kid, but I actually forgot what it even means. So Andrea had to clarify that for me. She had to refresh my memory. So what is the next one?
I love this one. So it's Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle. So we were saying it sounds like you're bobbing for apples. Mm-hmm. What does it mean if you bob for apples?
So that's something that you do on Halloween, I think, don't you? I remember doing it once when I went to a Halloween party. They weren't as like frequent when I was growing up in the UK. It's become a lot more popular now, but it's like when you put apples in a pot full of water and you have to dip your head in to try and bite the apple to take it out of the water. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes there's like a prize or something as well, but I imagine this year there probably will be no bobbing for apples with that, because it's not a very COVID-friendly activity.
No, maybe like some sort of fishing game with fishing for apples.
That would be kind of like a verb bob, but here it's used as a name, like Bob. Bob's your uncle. Bob is your uncle, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like your uncle named Bob.
Yeah.
But it makes the definition of this makes no sense. I have no idea where this could have possibly come from.
Yeah, this one I really don't know, but it is a really common one. So you would use it, you know, to say, instead of saying, and that's it, or there it is, or like in French, they would say, et voila, or something. Mm-hmm. And you might even say that too. So you might be like, someone needs help with fixing something. So you're helping them, you're fixing it, and they say, oh, so I just need to do this, and then that, and Bob's your uncle. So, you know, it's like, and there it is, it's done.
Yeah, I just got back actually from like a trip in France, and I like find it mind-blowing how much they actually like use that word voila. So I think that it's a lot more common than saying like Bob's your uncle. Mm-hmm. You'd probably say something like there you go, or that's it, or it's all done.
Yeah,
a lot more. But it is kind of like a funny one that you could also use if you want to maybe get people to smile.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I have also heard, I think it's good to share, that you might also hear some people, I mean, probably with the older generations now, but you might hear some people say, Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt.
And in the UK too, they'd use that, right?
Yeah, they would, because obviously we've spoken a lot about words that can be offensive either in the UK or in America. And we know that Fanny is a name, but then also in the UK it's the, you know, the female private area. But not so much now, but I think maybe that's why the older generation would use that kind of phrase, is because a long time ago, more people would have been called Fanny.
Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our three-part Power Learning series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod, that's P-O-D, to sign up. Now, let's get back to today's podcast lesson.
Since we're talking about French, we said voila. The next one is pardon my French.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's quite a funny one too, because it's kind of like almost insulting to the French or to the French language, right?
Yeah, that does make sense. I think I wasn't sure actually as well if this was one that we shared, like an expression that was common in both American and British English. So I'm pleasantly surprised that it is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we would say this after swearing basically. So, you know, if something has happened and you're angry or you use a swear word and then you kind of think, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that, or I want to apologize for using that kind of language, you would then say, oh, pardon my French, although it's not French.
Yeah, you'll kind of like use it also to soften the blow. Like if you're about to use one, you could say like, pardon my French, and then you say like the curse word,
mm-hmm.
Like to kind of justify the fact that you're using it because maybe the situation calls for it.
Yeah, that's interesting as well. You just said curse word, didn't you?
I did.
So you don't say swear words?
We could as well. We say both.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Cursing or swearing. Yeah. So for some reason, we must think that the French swear a lot or something like that.
Yeah.
So what's the next one, Andrea?
So the next one is quite funny because you might picture it in your head. It's cat mm-hmm. got your tongue.
Cat got your tongue. So it sounds quite painful.
It does. Imagine a cat with their claws in your tongue and you being dragged around or something. Yeah. This one can be really confusing because if someone said it to you, you might be like, what are they asking me? What on earth are they saying? But basically, this just means, like, for example, you might be talking with someone, maybe you're disagreeing on something, and then, you know, you don't know what to respond, or they've stumped you maybe, and they might say to you, what's the matter? Cat got your tongue?
Yeah. So you could say it like someone lacks a good response, right?
Yeah. Or it's like,
what you've said.
I stumped you, like, what, you've got no comeback now? Or, you know, mm-hmm. or maybe they've, you know, they were very animated before, maybe argumentative. And then all of a sudden you go timid and quiet. So it's a good response. Mm-hmm.
I think of it also like you could use it in the sense a little bit like that one, the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like someone was like talking about something, they're speaking, but then it's like they're at a loss for words. You could say like, what, cat's got your tongue, like, you know, you forgot what you have to say, or you can't think of what you were talking about, right?
Yeah, that's true. It will be very interesting as well just to know where this originated from. Like, lots of them are you know, are very interesting to find out the origins as well.
Hopefully someone's tongue wasn't actually had by a cat.
Yeah.
So moving on, what's the next one?
So the next one is really frequently used, so it's a really useful one to know. And again, it's a strange one because you might hear it and really think, what on earth does that mean? And it's under the weather.
Under the weather. So it sounds like it's raining, right?
Yeah. Like you wouldn't say you're physically under the weather. You might go out and it be raining or something like that. But
mm-hmm.
it actually doesn't mean that at all. It does make sense in a way when you actually start to think about it, because the meaning of, like, if you're feeling under the weather, it means that you're not feeling very well. So mm-hmm. you might imagine yourself underneath some clouds or rain, like feeling a bit gloomy, which can sometimes happen if you're not feeling very well.
Exactly. I think that one kind of like makes sense, but definitely if you heard it, you wouldn't know at all probably what it means.
Mm-hmm.
But we use that one in the US also all the time. Like if you I don't know, at work or with a friend or something, you, if they say like, oh, it's, you know, what's wrong? You look like a little bit tired, or you look a little bit, you know, something's off. Then you could say like, oh, I'm just feeling a little bit under the weather. Mm-hmm. Like you're not 100%, or you're a little bit sick or something like that. We'll use it a lot in that sense.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really useful one. You can start using it and sounding more like a native as well, because we use it a lot.
So the next one, I guess this one could be somewhat related. It's cold turkey. So if you go cold turkey, or you quit something cold turkey, maybe you might feel a little bit under the weather, right?
Yeah, that's true, actually. So I think this one, although we share it, I do think maybe this one is more influenced by American English. I don't know.
It could be.
Yeah, I have a feeling maybe just because I see it more in American TV shows and things like that as well. I feel like that's where I've learned it from. But people in Britain do use it as well. Yeah, so when you go cold turkey, you give something up completely. And then what tends to happen, like, for example, if you're a smoker and then you give up smoking, you know, when your body's getting rid of that nicotine and everything and having like withdrawal symptoms, you don't feel so great, do you? But it's usually when you, am I right in thinking it's usually when you give something up completely, like without a transition period?
Exactly. It's that. It's when you quit cold turkey, it's like, okay, you could, if you quit smoking, but okay, I'm going to do like, right now I smoke, I don't know, I've never like been a smoker in my life, so I don't know what's a normal number, but like I smoke 10 cigarettes a day. I'm going to reduce to like 5 a day, and then 3 a day, and then 2 a day. So that would not be cold turkey. Cold turkey would be like, okay, I'm throwing away all of my cigarettes. I'm not going to touch another one starting, you know, starting right now. I'm quitting cold turkey, which is much more challenging. Maybe it's more challenging. I guess it's kind of like we might also say like ripping off the Band-Aid, right?
Yeah.
Would you say the same? Because I think Band-Aid is a different word in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I guess that's more of an American expression, because we don't say Band-Aid, we say plaster.
Mm-hmm. So would you say rip off the plaster, or is that expression just not really?
Yeah, it's not really an expression, but we would say, oh, just rip it off quickly. Like, you know, less painful, but quick, and you get it over with. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we don't have that expression.
We'd use that one, rip it off like a Band-Aid, just like Andrea said, when you want to, there's something that you know you have to do, but it's going to be painful, but it's like, do it in a quick way. Like people say this, I think in Friends, in our Fluent with Friends course, I think we explained this, because I think someone says like, you know, just they want to break up with their girlfriend. It's like, okay, just do it, you know, rip it off like Band-Aid, like just get it done. Just tell them that it's over, instead of like dragging it out, and it'll be a much more painful process.
Yeah, I remember that. I think, was that with Phoebe and Chandler kind of doing a breakup together or something?
That could have been it. Yeah. Rings a bell. The cold turkey one too, we said for smoking, but I think you can use this for a lot of things, basically like anything that you want to quit, that's something that's difficult to quit, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have like a addiction to sugar or chocolate, or and also of course for like anything that's a harder drug or anything like that, then this expression's used a lot.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Next, you find a turkey in the woods. So our next expression is
my neck of the woods.
My neck of the woods. This is a very strange one as well, right? But it's to understand, because it doesn't have anything to do with an actual neck.
Yeah. And imagine you live like deep in the city as well, and you don't live anywhere near the woods. That could also add to the confusion as well.
So my neck of the woods is like my area, right? My neighborhood, or the place where I live, or something like that. Like if I said, I don't know, back in my neck of the woods, people are a lot more, there's a lot more obesity.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's, yeah, you can use it like that. And even if we were talking and I would say, oh, I was in your neck of the woods at the weekend, which would mean again that I was around the area where you live.
You said at the weekend, right?
Did I? I didn't even think about it. Yeah. I can't, is at the American way, technically?
No, on is the American way.
Okay, yeah. I use both.
So you said it correctly. So we only have a couple more. So the next one sounds kind of similar, but with a different meaning.
Yeah. So the next one is, it's right up your alley. So an alley is like a small walkway, like usually in between buildings. It's not a road. It's not as big as a road. It's just more like a narrow pathway where you can still walk down it to get to certain places. You probably wouldn't want to walk down an alley late at night, because you don't know what's lurking there, and it might be a bit dangerous, but that's what it would be. Do you have many alleys in America?
Yeah, you have, definitely. I think like that's a very commonplace thing in the cities. Like you'll have, especially in like commercial areas, mm-hmm. you'll have kind of the alley. And for example, you'll have like the dumpsters, the trash there, mm-hmm. where like the, for example, like a restaurant would like dump their trash in the alley behind the restaurant. It's mm-hmm. a very common part of our geography, but this doesn't really have anything to do with streets or geography. So if you say something's right up your alley, that means like it's something you really enjoy, right?
Yeah. So if I went to a restaurant, let's bring it back to food as we always do. And
it's almost lunchtime.
Yeah. And I really thought that, you know, you would like it. If we were talking about it, I might say, oh, it's right up your alley. Like it just means, oh, you would love it.
Mm-hmm. It's perfect for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you could say like, I just took this trip in France and I went to this place. It would be right up your alley. Mm-hmm. Meaning like you definitely have to go visit this place because it fits you perfectly.
That's a really common one as well. I think people still use this a lot frequently.
Mm-hmm. So the last one is another one that I think we use quite often. Mm-hmm. So what is it?
Pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah. So we'd say usually like that's the pot calling the kettle black, right? Or
yeah.
Are you the pot calling the kettle black? So what does this mean?
So this one means that maybe you're being a bit of a hypocrite. So I think it's probably important to explain what being a hypocrite is as well, in case people are a bit unsure, haven't heard that term before. But it's kind of like when someone is pretending to be something they're not, so they're being hypocritical. But I think the phrase is really interesting because it's just so confusing. It's talking about pots and kettles and the color of them.
Yeah, so it's like well, people probably know a pot is like what you'd make soups in. A kettle is what you make tea in, right? Mm-hmm. And I think of it probably like it's an older expression. I mean, that we still use nowadays, but I imagine it kind of comes from the time that like you'd have kind of like that stoneware that like everything's black. So probably the pot and the kettle would both be black. And so it's like, okay, the pot that's black is calling the kettle that's black, black. So it's kind of like you're accusing someone of the thing that you also do. Mm-hmm. So I think of it a lot in that way, is that it's kind of used to say like, you're reprimanding me for doing something when you're doing the same. Kind of like you might hear like, you could tell this to your parents maybe in many cases, because they're always like lecturing you, do what I say, not what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good way of explaining it.
So anytime if someone's reprimanding you or telling you not to do something, but they also do it, then that's great to use this expression. And I've heard it also as like, are you the pot or the kettle? So kind of like a way of like almost shortening it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's a good idea, because it is quite a long one.
All right. So now we're going to look at a couple British ones that Andrea's prepared for me that I haven't heard of before. So what's the first one?
So the first one is it's gone pear-shaped.
So the only thing I can think of with pear-shaped is like a diamond, like it's like a cut for a diamond, right?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't mind a pear-shaped diamond. But what this means is that if something goes pear-shaped, it means it's gone wrong. It hasn't gone the right way. Yeah, or the way that you expect it. I suppose it comes from the pear being like an awkward shape, right? It's not like round like an apple. It's kind of, yeah. And they can be all different shapes, I guess, as well.
So it's kind of like something's gone awry. Something's gone wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha. And then the final one.
So if something is, oh no, I'm not going to say what it is. I'll see what you think, but you probably can gauge more or less what it means. But we would say that something cost a bomb, or we could even say something costs an arm and a leg.
Okay. Well, by the second one, then I would know what it means, because we'd use that same one. It costs an arm and a leg.
Ah, okay.
It's extremely expensive. Like saying that like you'd almost have to like give that person your arm and your leg in order to buy something because it's so expensive.
Exactly. Yeah. And cost a bomb, just because it's like, you know, I just imagine an explosion, like when you see the price of something and you're just like, what? And so I guess that's where that one comes from.
Yeah, it's almost like a cartoon or something where you just see like their head explode, right?
Yeah.
Out of surprise. That makes sense. But yeah, the cost an arm and a leg, we use that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have that one in common.
Now I have an extra one to use, because like London is so, if I ever go to London, it's just like so expensive there. A lot of things cost a bomb, so I'll be able to use that quite frequently.
Yeah, definitely. You'll be amongst the locals.
Awesome. So if you want to learn a couple more expressions, Andrea is actually going to be doing an exclusive video over on Instagram. So you can go head over there at reallife.english and learn a few more fun expressions that you can start using right away. So that said, it's been really great having you, and we look forward to seeing you next week on the Real Life English Podcast. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.